Welcome to the Bible Insights Podcast with your host, Val Waldick. We're coming to the end of our study on Revelation. Just a few more studies left of our bird's eye view of this book, this wonderful book. And I want to remind you today about the promise of God in chapter 1, verse 3. God says, "Blessed is he who reads and those that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." We are very, very blessed as we look at this book. Remember, the summary of Revelation is found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. The book is written in three parts: the things which you have seen, that's the glorified Christ, and we saw that John described him in chapter 1 of his book. And then the things which are, which is the church age. The first three chapters of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, deal with the church age. And finally, the things which will take place after this. Dealing with the reign of Antichrist, we saw in the first 3.5 years that there would be pseudo-peace on earth as he gains control of the whole earth with his global government, his global religion, and his global economy. And then halfway through his 7-year period, he breaks his 7-year treaty with Israel, and we have 3.5 years of total chaos and confusion with terrible judgments known as the seal judgments, the 7 trumpet judgments, and the 7 bowl judgments. So what happens next? The most wonderful thing we saw last week, Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 16, Jesus Christ returns to earth and stands as promised by Zechariah on the Mount of Olives, together with the saints who met him in the clouds during the rapture and those who've gone before. The return of the King. John writes in Revelation 19, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen," that's the saints, "white and clean, followed him on white horses, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." We know that the rider of the white horse in Revelation chapter 6 verse 1 was the Antichrist, the counterfeit Messiah. But Jesus Christ comes, and there's no doubting who this rider is in Revelation chapter 19. Zechariah said in chapter 14 verse 4 that in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, which faces the eastern gate and the temple. And the Lord said to me, Ezekiel 44 verses 2 and 3, "This gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man will enter by it. As you sit on the Mount of Olives, you look down on the eastern gate, which was bricked up by Muslims, believing that bricking it up would mean Messiah could never go through it." Well, Jesus Christ is coming back to the Mount of Olives on that day, together with the church. Those doors are going to open, and he's going to march right into the temple area. The gate in its present form was sealed by Ottoman Sultan Suleiman in 1541. To prevent Messiah fulfilling Ezekiel's prophecy. But the Lord says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Psalm 24 verses 7 to 10 speaks about that day. Listen to this: "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Those everlasting doors will open, and the King of Glory shall come in. The first time he came on a donkey, the second time he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. We know that during the millennial reign, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. We read about that in Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3. John writes, he says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Can you imagine 1,000 years without Satan interfering, without evil, without all the nonsense that's going on in our world right now? Jesus Christ will rule the nations. Revelation 19 verses 15 and 16. "Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron." Not everybody during the millennium period will be saved. Some of them will have children who won't serve the Lord. There'll be people who will be subdued, who pretend to be Christians, but the Lord is going to rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The redeemed will reign with him. Revelation 20:46, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When was the first resurrection? We know that was when the rapture took place, and the dead in Christ, their bodies were raised, reunited to their spirits, because they returned with the Lord. And the second death has no power on us. We will never die eternally. We have to be born twice. Jesus said we must be born again. If we're born twice, we will only die once, physically, but not spiritually. If we're only born once and we're not born again, we will die twice, physically and then spiritually. But we know this, that those who are coming with the Lord, who've taken part in the first resurrection, we shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Enoch talked about that, and Jude chapter 1 verses 14 to 15 records his words. Now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all those who are evil. He's coming with 10,000s of his saints. If we've been raptured, or you died before the rapture, you'll be returning with the Lord to the Mount of Olives. What a glorious day that's going to be. We know that the last 3.5 years are a time of absolute chaos. The judgments of God mean that the world will be in a state of chaos. Everything will be affected. Nations will be hurling bombs and nuclear weapons at each other, and there's going to be total chaos. But do you know, like the Lord renovated the earth the first time, he's going to renovate the earth again. Isaiah 32 verse 1 tells us, Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. Chapter 40 verses 4 to 5 goes on to say, Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Isn't that going to be wonderful? We're not going to reign in chaos. But that 1,000 years, the world will be restored to a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful status like at the Garden of Eden in the beginning, where the Lord will reign in righteousness and princes will rule with justice. Some have asked the question, why will Christ rule on earth for 1,000 years? Why is it necessary for him to do that? What is the point of it? I want to say this, that God always keeps his promises. He's made some promises, folks, and he's going to keep them. I want to bring 7 to you at this time. God made a promise to the Jewish nation, to those who turned to him and received him as their Messiah. And we know that 1/3 of the Jews will survive Armageddon and will receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 36 verses 26 to 28 tells us about that. This coming a day, the Lord says to the Jewish people, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. There's coming a day when 1/3 of the Israelites are going to turn to the Lord and see and recognize him as the Messiah, and they're going to dwell in their own land for 1,000 years together with us, and they're going to recognize the Lord. They're going to say, You are our God. What a wonderful time that's going to be. The Bible speaks about that quite a lot. God's also going to keep his promise to the church. He said in 2 Timothy 2:12, If we endure, we shall also reign with him. It's a promise he made to the church. Revelation 2:26-27 says, He who overcomes and who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Believers, whether Jewish believers or Gentile believers, God's going to keep his promise to the Jew and to the church, and we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years, just as he promised. The Lord also made a promise to the nations. He said there's coming a day when there's going to be a time of world peace, and it's during the millennium period that God is going to fulfill that promise. Isaiah 2 verse 4. tells us that the Lord will mediate between nations and he will settle international disputes. No more war. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation nor train for war anymore. God is going to keep that promise during that 1,000 years. God made a promise to creation. He said there's coming a day when all the animals will be at peace with each other. The lion won't kill any animals anymore. Listen to Isaiah 11 verses 6 to 8. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lay down with a baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in the nest of deadly snakes without harm. God made a promise to creation that there would be a time of peace. And during those millennial years, he's going to fulfill that promise. God promised that Messiah would reign on earth. Revelation 19:6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Jesus Christ is coming back to take authority and to reign for 1,000 years. God promised a global world revival. A lot of people have cottoned on to this promise, and they're looking for that global revival right now. I know God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh, and especially young people, but there's coming a time when there's going to be a truly global revival, and it's going to happen during the millennium. Listen to Isaiah 11 verse 9 prophesying. He says, Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. There's coming a great revival when the whole earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. And it's going to happen during the millennium. God's going to keep his promise of a world revival. The Lord says, But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, You should know the Lord. For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Jeremiah prophesied that in chapter 31, verses 33 to 34. God promised a world revival, and he's going to fulfill that promise. Everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. What a wonderful day that's going to be. And then God promised that he will answer all our prayers. Matthew 6 verses 9 and 10, a prayer that we've prayed so many times for thousands of years. We have prayed this prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's coming a day when his name will be hallowed globally. Your kingdom come. We prayed, your kingdom come. The kingdom of God has never come. It's in our hearts, yes, but it's never come to this earth in its fullness. And during the millennium, God's going to keep his promise. He's going to answer that prayer. His kingdom will come. We pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That has never, ever happened in the history of this world, that God's will was done perfectly on earth as it is in heaven. During that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, God is going to answer that prayer that we've prayed so many, many, many times. The most wonderful thing is that this invitation is open to the whosoever will. When the rapture happens, it will be too late. People will be able to receive the Lord after the rapture. We've seen that God's going to send an angel to preach the gospel. He's sending two anointed witnesses. He's sending 144,000 Jewish evangelists, and there's going to be a great harvest of souls. But a lot of people who miss the rapture will not be prepared to give their lives and to die under the hand of Antichrist by receiving the Lord as their Savior. And the Lord says, now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. And in Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of the last book in the Bible, the Lord gives this amazing invitation. Revelation 22, 17, the Spirit and the Bride. Who's the Bride? It's the church. This is our message to the world right now. Our message isn't to have a social time. Our message isn't to make the earth green. Our message is to invite the world to be witnesses for the Lord in Jerusalem, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's our commission. That's our message. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let everyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires to drink freely from the waters of life, let them come, says the Lord. Today is a day of salvation. Revelation 22:17. What's going to happen after the millennial reign of Christ? You'll have to come back to the next podcast and we'll share a little bit of what happens right after the millennial reign of Christ and then what happens in eternity. Jesus Christ said in Revelation 22:20, his last recorded words, he who testifies to these things. This book comes from the heart of God himself. These words were given to the writer John by the Lord himself. He testifies. He said, he who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. That word quickly means suddenly. I'm coming suddenly. What is your reaction to that? Are you saying amen? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come and take your waiting people home. Or are you saying, I'm not ready, don't come? If there's something that is in your heart, some compromise, something that's making you feel guilty, put it right. Confess, repent, be washed in the blood of Jesus, and make it your business to be ready for the return of Jesus, so that you too can say, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's coming back again. Soon, Revelation is God's final notice to this earth. He who testifies to these things says, surely, absolutely, positively, surely, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. God bless you. Join me again next week as we take another look at the book of Revelation. Feel free to visit my website, valwaldick.com, for some more information. God bless you.